Good morning. If you don't know me, my name is Zach. I serve as youth pastor here at Grace Point Church. Thank you. Alongside my beautiful wife, Savannah. All the men know our ladies are our better half. Amen. Amen. I'm so excited to be here with you guys this morning. Pastor said I had a whole hour, okay? Just kidding. I'm just a youth pastor. They give me like 20 minutes and then they're like, get off the stage. Just playing. But hey, I'm really excited to share with you guys this morning. I have something that I'm going to share with you that I know is going to encourage you, because can I tell you, God has encouraged me through it. There was a man one time, he told me, always preach from conviction or overflow. And this morning, I just want you to know I'm going to be preaching from conviction, because this message, as much as it is a message that I'm sharing with you guys this morning, it's a message that God's been preaching to me too, and I'm walking out. So I'm really excited about it. Before I introduce it, though, I do want to say something real quick. My wife and I have had the privilege of serving as youth pastors here at Grace Point for almost 2 years now. Our anniversary is in August, which is super exciting. We love it. I mean, it's my absolute favorite thing to do. Throughout my week, my passion in terms of the work that I do, the thing that makes me the most passionate is student ministry. I just love it. I love connecting with teens. I love being the guy that throws the football and shoots a Nerf gun while at the same time telling your kids about Jesus and getting to act like the idiot because I'm just the youth pastor. You know, it's my favorite thing. And lately, God's been doing some cool stuff in the youth ministry, and I've gotten to preach a few times here now, and I've never really taken a moment to really brag about what God is doing, but I want to these next couple of seconds here, because it's not me. It's really not me or Savannah, so don't give me a high five after this. Oh, you're awesome. It's not that. I just believe God is doing something in our teenagers. I really do believe that God wants to move in our teenagers' lives. And something that was really fun, just a couple weeks back, we had our first Wednesday. Just so you know, our strategy as a youth ministry is first Wednesday is the fun time. Let's get them through the door. We're going to have food. We're going to have fun. We're just going to make it all fun. So that's like the friendly time to come. And then the other Wednesdays, we hit them with Jesus, okay? In a good way, in a biblical way. But it was cool because we did first Wednesday this last month, and we had an attendance record for when we had been here. We had 19. We had a Mario Kart tournament. We had Whataburger. It was a lot of fun. It was really cool. But that's not what excites me the most. What excites me the most is about a year ago, my wife and I decided it'd be cool if we got some journals for the students just to write down the scriptures and the things that God is doing. And they're their journals. The students will tell you. They have their own journal with a name on it. We tell them, hey, whenever you leave, whenever you graduate, take this with you. We're not looking at it. It's your personal thing. And what excites me the most is seeing a room full of teenagers, when we're sitting down talking about God's word, their hands are just moving, okay? They are just writing. And it's not because I'm that great of a speaker. It's because they're hungry for what God is saying. And so I just want to invite you guys, if you haven't been a part of this youth ministry, I want to invite you. I want to invite you because God's doing something special. It's not me. It's not Savannah. It's just God has an environment where he is ministering to these teens, and we're excited to steward it. So there we go. That was that for this morning. Thank you for letting me do that here. Today I want to talk about this idea. It's three words, and it's really simple. I'm just going to get right to it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Because how many of you know life is hard? Life is hard, okay? And newsflash, if you're a newer Christian, maybe it's your first time here at church, welcome. Being a Christian doesn't necessarily make it easy, okay? We're the group of people that our Savior died a bloody death on a cross, okay? So life, it can be hard at times. It can be difficult. We go through things. Can I get any seasoned saints in the room that can attest that, hey, I've gone through some things, but God is good? God is good? And all the time? Amen. We always got to do that. So I want to talk about this idea of not giving up, because we all go through things, but what's important is when we go through these things, how do we respond to it? What do we allow to happen during these moments where life is difficult, where you're going through some legitimate stuff? I'm not talking about we hit a little bit of traffic on the way to work and, oh man, my day was tough. I'm talking about maybe you're having problems in your marriage. Maybe you have a sick loved one. Maybe you've lost a loved one. Maybe you're just struggling, and you've been struggling for a long time, and it feels like you're just always going to be struggling. We all go through these types of things, but the question is, what do we do when we go through it? And I just want to encourage us this morning, because we don't need to give up, all right? Amen? Just making sure you're with me. So I want to start with Paul in Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, and then also, if you guys are following along with me today, we're going to be in Hebrews chapter 12, and we're also going to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as well. Both of these passages of Scripture were written by Paul. We believe Hebrews to be written by Paul. A little bit debate there, but like 90% of theologians believe that was by Paul. And so we're going to start in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and then we're going to jump to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 and 10. But starting in Hebrews chapter 12, he says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Amen? Amen. I love that passage because I don't know about you. I like to play sports. I'm a little chubby, so I'm not really good at them, but I like to play them, okay? And I like the picture here because the picture is, hey, we're running a race. This ain't a marathon kind of race. This is like, you know, sometimes a power walk kind of race, or maybe we're just limping by kind of race, but we're running a race. And Paul says, hey, if we want to run this race more effectively, what we have to do is we have to lay aside the weights, the things that we pick up in life that we don't need, and the sin which so easily ensnares us. We got to put it away. We got to keep our focus. We got to keep our eyes on the prize. We're called to do something here on this planet, okay? And so in order to run our race the most effectively, we got to put aside our sins. We got to put aside our weights. But what I find interesting is the same guy who writes this imagery of sins and weights holding us back. What's crazy is in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, this same guy writes about something else. He writes about this thing called a thorn. Starting verse 7, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that it should leave me. But he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." And we thought we went through things, okay? "For when I am weak, then I am strong." Amen. Amen. What hurts my brain about this passage is Paul makes it clear sins and weights are kind of a choice. They're kind of a choice. If we can lay it aside, like he says in Hebrews chapter 12, then it's optional. It's a decision that we make. We choose to continue to sin. We choose to overburden ourselves with weights. We're Americans. Our calendars are full every day of the week, okay? We choose to pick up those things, but when it came to thorns, the thorns get to stay. They get to stay. I struggle with this. I struggle with it, especially because it says in this passage that Paul begged 3 times. 3 times he begged God, hey, take this thorn away. And if you really want your mind to just be messed up this morning, I hope you drank your coffee. The Bible says it was a messenger of Satan. So the thorn wasn't even from God. But it was something that God allowed to stay. It hurts my brain. It's difficult. It's difficult to understand, but I think even though we never really get a clear description of what that thorn is, Paul never comes out and plainly says what he's talking about. You can look it up. There's so many different opinions on what Paul's thorn was. I don't know. I think it's okay to say I don't know sometimes as a pastor, you know, because we don't know everything. So it's difficult. I don't get it. I struggle with it. I wrestle with it. But I think we all can relate to those things in our life that we just don't understand. Like, God, why is the situation not changing? God, why am I always struggling with this? God, why do I always have this feeling that it just seems like it won't go away? And we know it's not of God. Like, God calls us to have joy. God calls us to have peace. We know it's not something that God sent to us. Just like in this passage, it's a messenger of Satan. But it's something that God allows to stay. And we find out why. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Thorns are tricky, and they can be complicated. And so when I was studying for this, I decided I wanted to, where was the first occurrence of the word thorns in the Bible? And if we could turn to Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19, this is the first time that thorns are mentioned. We're jumping in right after Adam and Eve took the bite of the apple. They did what they weren't supposed to do. They took something that God said, hey, have everything else. Don't have this. They did it anyways. And then jumping in verse 17, and to Adam, God said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife. It's in the Bible. I don't even know what to do with this. Because if I make a joke, I'm in trouble. And the guys are happy. So it's in the Bible. Don't get mad at me. I'm just playing. Don't worry. I'm about to get the guys, okay? Because you have listened to the voice of your wife and have eaten of the tree of which I commanded you, you shall not eat. Curse is the ground because of you, gentlemen. Yeah, I told you, ladies. I'm going to get the guys, too. We like to blame it on our wives, but, I mean, because of you. Take some ownership now, all right? It's not what I'm preaching about. Well, I'm not old enough for marriage counseling, okay? I just go to it. I don't do it. You shall not eat of it. Curse is the ground because of you. In pain you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Watch this. Thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. This word thorns comes up in the Bible a lot. The thorn was the consequence of the decision of sin. It was the curse that came upon the world because of sin. And again, what makes it difficult to understand is when it came to our sins, God forgives them and takes them away, right? John 3:16, we just did it earlier. When it comes to our weights, Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It's a choice that we make when we pick up weights. It's a choice that we make when we book our schedules like crazy. It's a choice that we make when we fill our lives with things that aren't meaningful. I mean, Jesus kind of gives us the picture of weights at the end of Luke chapter 10. Just a little short story here. How many of you guys remember Mary and Martha? Anybody? Been in church for a little while. Mary and Martha were two sisters who, while Jesus was traveling around teaching and preaching and doing all sorts of miracles, they were like, hey, Jesus, come hang out with us. We want to host you and the disciples. And so they're like, yeah, cool, let's do that. And so they come in, and Martha is the one that gets the things done. Martha's cooking, Martha's staging the home, Martha's being a good host, all of those kinds of things. But Mary, the Bible says, was just sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to what he had to say. And I mean, growing up, if you had any siblings, you know what that's like when your parents tell you to clean and then one sibling's cleaning and the other one's not. It's like, mom, they're not cleaning. Like, they got to clean the toilet because I cleaned the shower. You know, I never cleaned the toilet or the shower growing up. But that's kind of what happens. Martha comes to Jesus and kind of tattletales. It's like, hey, what's up, Jesus? Can you tell Mary to do something? And watch what Jesus says. It's really cool, actually. Jesus says, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. That doesn't preach to 2023. Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. Jesus is saying, hey, Mary is worried about the most important thing. All the other stuff's cool, but it's not necessary. And so we see when it came to the sins, God's taking care of them. When it came to the weights, yoke is easy, burden is light, focus on Jesus. All the other stuff is just, it's added fluff to our lives. But the hard thing is the thorns. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 7 through 10 again. Just at verse 8, I just want you to hear this. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this. This is the Apostle Paul. Think about the emotion he must have felt when he was writing this down. I'm sure, how many of you guys have the Bibles with like the tear stains on them? I'm sure this passage of scripture, there was probably some tear stains when this was getting written down, because he said, three times, God, I begged you to help me with this. I begged you to take this away. I begged you to not have to deal with this anymore. But instead, God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes God allows us to have these thorns. So I want to give you three things this morning. This was all a setup for these next few minutes. I want to give you three things this morning to know about thorns. Because like I said at the beginning of today's message, the Christian life doesn't mean it's the easy life. You're going to go through some things. You're going to deal with some things. You're going to have some difficulties. But I want to give you three things to know and three tools to equip you along this journey called life. The first thing I want you to know about thorns is thorns hurt the most when you start to move. Anyone ever get a thorn? We live in Texas now. Come on. When you have a thorn in your foot, you feel it instantly, but when you really start to feel it is when, you know, you're doing a little hobble step because I got a thorn on my foot. It hurts the most when you start to move. I mean, notice, Paul says he starts having this surpassing greatness of revelations. Let me simplify that for you guys a little bit. Basically, Paul was like, just achieving all of these cool God things, and God just kept pouring out all of these revelations, and Paul was just doing so much for the Lord. It kept getting better and better, glory to glory, just higher and higher. Paul is having all of these things happen, but when all of these amazing things are happening, that's when Paul starts to feel his thorn the most. That's why some of you had a fight in the car on the way to church this morning, okay? Because the devil doesn't like it when you're coming to church. That's why some of you, when you find yourself start praying, and you know, it's not just a Sunday morning thing anymore, but now I'm in my prayer closet. I'm before I go to work in the morning, I'm taking time to pray and get in God's word. That's why some of you, when that starts to happen, it's like all hell breaks loose and you have the craziest week of your life. That's why when we're praying for our loved ones who aren't saved, it seems like the more we pray, the wilder they're acting, right? Thorns hurt the most when you start to move toward the things of God, because it's not from God. It's something that God's allowing you to experience, that God's allowing you to go through. Remember, the Bible said it was a messenger of Satan, but it begins to hurt the most when we're moving toward God. Let me tell you something, church. The devil likes comfortable Christians. He loves them. Comfortable Christians do the most damage. They come to church, they pretend they're holy, they pretend they're living their lives the way that they're supposed to do, but then they go out on work on Tuesday around the lunch table and they're gossiping and saying all sorts of awful things about their coworkers. The devil loves that. The devil loves a comfortable Christian, but he doesn't like it when you start moving toward God. You need to know about thorns. When you start to move closer to God, you're going to start to feel your thorn a little bit more than usual. You're going to know. It's going to hurt a little bit. The second thing I want you guys to know about thorns is thorns give God the glory. Thorns give God the glory. Listening to this message, understanding what the Bible says about these things, I don't know about you, but I know for me, it kind of messes me up a little bit because I just don't understand. Like, why? I'm like with Paul, I'm like, three times I pray, God, why didn't you just take it away? Like, I don't get it. But on this side of heaven, we live in a fallen world, okay? This isn't the way God wanted it to be. This is what it looks like after we made a mistake and now God is actively redeeming the world through Christians. But we still live in a fallen world. We're trying to take it back. But we still got some things we got to do before Jesus comes back, and then things will be different. We won't have these thorns anymore. But while we do have them, thorns give God the glory. Verse 8 through 9 said, "For my power is made perfect or made complete in your weakness." Basically, what God is saying is, when I take a jacked up individual like you who has absolutely no business doing the things of God that you're doing, it makes people realize, man, there was nothing really that special about Paul. God must really be doing something. God must really be doing something. I mean, I won't even pick on you guys. I'll pick on myself. If you talk to some of the people I went to high school with, they're going to be like, "Zach? Zach?" Not really, like Zach Routon. Like, I know you had a lot of Zach, like that Zach. Really? But God gets the most glory when he takes the broken, messed up pieces of our lives and moves anyways. Hebrews chapter 12 starts with the word "therefore." Anytime you see the word "therefore" in the Bible, you need to think to yourself, what is it there for? That wasn't me. That's been around for a while. Hebrews chapter 11, the chapter right before it, is referred to as the hall of faith. You know, as Christians, we got to put a cheesy spin on things. It's not the hall of fame, the hall of faith. And all of Hebrews chapter 11 talks about men and women of God who did incredible feats through the power of the Holy Spirit. And let me tell you something, when you read through the names, you're like, man, those people were really messed up. Just to kind of give you an idea, David, King David, is one of the people mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. You know one of the things that David did? David saw some girl that he thought was attractive and found out she was married, so ends up getting her pregnant. In order to cover the whole thing up, she has a husband get killed. He's a murderer and an adulterer. But the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. Another person mentioned is Moses. Moses was so messed up, he murdered somebody too. And when God told him, "Hey, I got a plan and a calling for your life," Moses told him, "I can't do it." And the reason why he felt like he couldn't do it is because he had a stuttering issue. He couldn't speak clearly, and so he felt disqualified. But God still used him. I just want to encourage you this morning. Don't feel like you're disqualified from what God is calling you to do because you're messed up. We're all messed up. Now, it doesn't mean we stay messed up. We're going to keep getting better now, okay? You're not getting a free pass to sin. Paul said, because of God's grace, should we keep going on sinning? God forbid, no. But what it does mean is the starting line is the blood of Jesus. The starting line isn't whether or not you have a degree. The starting line isn't whether or not you grew up in church. The starting line isn't whether or not your family is all together and everything's perfect and squeaky clean. The starting line is as simple as this. Hey, am I covered under the blood of Jesus? Amen. Thank God for the covering of the blood. Thorns give God the glory. But another thing that thorns do is thorns keep our focus on Jesus. They keep us focused on him. Verse 10 starts with saying, "For the sake of Christ." For the sake of Christ. I love it because Paul has an honest conversation with himself. We get to see into the psyche of Paul through this chapter. And he's like, man, if I didn't have this thorn, I would be so prideful. I would think that it was all me. I would think it was because of how good I am. I would think it was because of how qualified I am. I would think it was because of how great I am. But we get to see Paul's mental thought process through this chapter, and we realize that, hey, that thorn was there to keep Paul humbled, rooted, and focused. How many times has life humbled one of us? It's not fun when life humbles you. But when we have those thorns help us keep our focus on Jesus. I want to go back to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, same passage. I want to focus on a different part. Remember, this is Paul. He's writing all of this. These are different books, but he wrote all this. He says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Watch this, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Can we get the worship team to come up, please? Guys, we're going to go through some stuff. I'm sorry. I wish it wasn't this way. I really do. I wish it was easier. I wish you didn't have to struggle with depression. I wish you didn't have to struggle with temptation. I'm wishing you didn't have to struggle with the loss of a loved one, or maybe the loss of a marriage, or the loss of a hope and a dream. But sometimes these thorns, they're there, and we can't really change that. But if we're not careful, your thorn will make you want to give up. If you're not careful, your thorn will make you want to give up. And can I just tell you this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. I'm going to get a little emotional here. I hope that's okay. This morning, Savannah can attest to this. I've preached a few times. I've preached a lot with her since we've been married. And this morning was different than a lot of mornings, because if I could just be transparent with you, I'm struggling a little bit more than usual this morning. And I laughed and I chuckled at how good God is, because this morning I was getting ready. I put on the Elevation Church live stream just to listen to the worship. And what was so cool, they were singing this song that it hasn't even been released yet. It hadn't even been released yet. They were just doing a teaser, a sample. And man, can I just tell you, God ministered to me so well through that song. I'm going to share these lyrics with you this morning, because I believe that God set all of that up just so I could come to you this morning. For when I am weak, he is strong. The song says this: he's in it with me. He's working through me. He's fighting for me. This is not my fight. God is my confidence. He's in it with me. He's working through me. He's fighting for me. This is not my fight. God is my confidence. I don't think you're getting it. He's in it with me. He's working through me. He's fighting for me. This is not my fight. God is my confidence. You know you're going to get a sneak peek at a song that hasn't been released yet, did you? When you feel like giving up, when you feel like giving in, I want to give you something. I want you to consider Mark chapter 15, verses 16 through 20. The Bible says when Jesus was about to get crucified, starting in verse 16, the soldiers led Jesus away into the palace and called together the whole company of soldiers. Verse 17, it says, they put a purple robe on him and then twisted together, my goodness, together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews. Again and again, they struck him on the head with the staff and they spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And verse 20 says, and when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes on him. And then they let him out to crucify him. And that stood out to me so hard. I was reminded that when Jesus was crucified, he was wearing a crown of thorns. He was wearing a crown of thorns. Don't you see the picture? Genesis chapter 3, we're cursed because of our sin, and we have to deal with thorns, the hardships of life, the difficult things that we have to go through that I can't even give you words for because it's so heavy and it's so serious and it won't go away. And Paul tells us that God's not going to just take it away. As a matter of fact, God's going to use it because God uses all things for the good of those who love him. He uses all things, the good, the bad, the ugly. And God gets the glory. But honestly, for me, that's not enough. Because when you're feeling a thorn, you're struggling and you're hurting and it's difficult. But what is enough for me is when I think about Jesus and I think about the crown of thorns that he wore on his head when he was getting crucified on the cross for our sins, for our mess ups, in order to make things right for us. I just want to tell somebody this morning, there's a messenger of Satan here today who's here to mock you, who's here to strip you of your royal garments, and who's trying to kill you, just like they did in Mark chapter 16, 15, verse 20. I just want to tell somebody this morning, there's hope. Don't give up. Don't give up. The devil tried to do it to Jesus, but he couldn't. So now he's trying to do it to you. But let me tell you something this morning. We serve a risen King. He is the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know why he sat down at the right hand? Because that's the hand of authority. Jesus has given us authority over our thorns this morning. When we're going through something, we've got the Prince of Peace. We've got the Lord of Lords. When we feel like our thorn is too much, he put that crown of thorns on our head and carried the weight. Can I get an amen this morning? Y'all stand up. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but just know this message was for you. It's for you. When I was thinking about this, pastor asked me about 2 weeks ago, I was thinking I was going to preach from the perspective of a youth pastor and how can we, you know, help with the students and the teenagers. God knows they're going through so much. That was where my head was at. But God said, no, that's not it. That'll have to be a different Sunday. God wanted me to tell somebody this morning, don't give up. Don't give up. It's not on you. When you're struggling, look to Jesus. Keep your gaze fixed on him. Let the thorns and the things that you're going through be a reminder of the fact that you need God, that you cannot turn away from him, that he is my source, that he is here to sustain me and to keep me, that when I am weak, he is strong. If that's you this morning, you're struggling and you feel like you're on the verge of giving up, I just want you to raise your hand. I just want you to let God know this morning that you hear him. And I want to tell you, God is speaking directly to you. He is speaking directly to you. And he's saying, don't give up. I'm here. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to carry it for you. You don't have to be strong. Just trust in me. You don't have to carry it. I'm going to carry it for you. Just keep looking at me. And so I want to pray for you this morning. I want to pray for you this morning. I want to encourage you, let you know God loves you so much. If that's you this morning, let's pray. Dear Jesus, we come to you as people who desperately need you. Who desperately need you, God. I thank you for the goodness of the Lord, that you will not leave us in this place. That God, you're a good shepherd. That, Father, you see where we are. You see what we're going through. You see what we're thinking and dealing with and feeling. And, Lord Jesus, I declare peace in the name of Jesus. I declare strength in the name of Jesus. Not the strength that comes from our own selves, but the strength that comes from a dependency on you. Lord, I declare breakthrough. That, Father, our perspectives and our minds will begin to change. That, God, like Paul, we would begin to give God the praise, that the things that we have gone through will give us a story to tell of the goodness of God, that will help us shine a brighter light, Lord, and give you glory in a way that nothing else could. Lord Jesus, help us this morning. Fill us with your love and your comfort, Lord. I thank you. I thank you, Jesus. And for everybody else who's seeing people in your life struggling, just be there for them. Just be there for them. We all go through things that we're not perfect. None of us. But I'll tell you, if you can just grab somebody who's struggling, put your arm around them, tell them that you love them, and pray for them, a lot of times that's all you need. It doesn't have to be fancy, it doesn't have to be pretty, and it doesn't have to be overly spiritual. Church, God loves you. And can we just take these next few moments to sing to him and let him know how much we love him?
Yes, he loves us.
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can y'all give God some praise this morning, guys? Sorry for being a crybaby. Real men cry, okay? Hey, we love you guys, and we really are a big family around here, so if you feel a little disconnected, you feel like you don't know a whole lot of people, let me tell you this, if you'll just show up, we'll wrap you around our arms and make you a part of our family like nobody's business, okay? Grace Point, I love you guys so much. Remember, guys, we love God, we love people, and we have a great day. Thank y'all so much.